Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The Blazers seek a new lease agreement with the city of Portland. Well, the Blazers return to the court with more injury news. It just never stops, Brenna. Also, we're going to talk about the All-Star Game debacle and some red-hot teams in the Pacific Northwest here on the Oregonian Sports Podcast, featuring myself, Aaron Fentress of the Oregonian and Oregon Live, and Brenna Green of Coin 6. Brenna, you got a kitty issue. You said something about your cat might tear up your room or something. What's going on there? Cat's locked in the room being a bad kitty? So you shouldn't have told me about that.
No, it's actually the opposite. My best friend is in town. And so they have been relegated to my bedroom.
Okay.
So that I can do this. However, when my cat sees a closed door, that means an opportunity. So that means, why aren't you letting me in here? I must know why you are not letting me in here. And also, my cat has figured out how to open up my bedroom door.
Ooh.
Yeah, he's smart.
Super kitty.
Oh, he's too smart. And so, anyway, so yes, I just had to, if I do not go there and put a towel underneath the crack of the door, he will rip up the carpet by the, I mean, the carpet's already ripped up by the door because he will try to bury his way in. So yeah, you know, I would like to not have to pay for a significant amount of carpet whenever the day comes that I have to leave this place. So yes, a towel is currently my genius technological advancement. So
nice.
There you go. It works. That's all I care about. He can't open the door. So
you have a high maintenance cat. You got to do what you got to do, right?
I do.
Okay. Speaking of high maintenance, the Blazers and their lease with the city to play at Moda Center, which is actually owned by the Blazers, but the land is owned by the city, is up in 2025. I cannot believe it's almost been 30 years since they moved in there. So the press release is put out today. Media outlets were given stuff yesterday to have a story prepared for today. It was embargoed. So I spent a lot of yesterday doing some interviews, reading their press release in advance, and then reading the legal document. So I had to read like four or five times. Whenever you read stuff in legalese, it's like, wait, what?
This job requires you to be an expert on a little bit of everything.
Yes, it does. So between all of those things, I think I got a good handle on what's going on. Okay, so I'm just give broad strokes here. The Blazers have until next fall to decide if they're going to renew the lease based on the old lease agreement, which was established almost 30 years ago, which clearly is outdated, right? I mean, the NBA has changed so much that just there's no way that deal is not a bad deal for an NBA team compared to other NBA city. So the Blazers don't want to just renew for 10 years. They want to negotiate something bigger, broader, and better. Of course, you know, the danger is that you don't reach a deal and then the Blazers leave and maybe go to Seattle, which, by the way, has a brand new arena for the Kraken that they wouldn't build for the Sonics, which is why the Sonics went to Oklahoma City. So you always want to try and avoid those types of situations, right? And so I firmly don't believe that the Blazers are gonna leave. Like, I figured everything would get worked out. I don't think Jody Allen has a plan to move him to Seattle. I just never bought that, or even that Paul would. But you have to have some kind of agreement. What's that?
I think even Adam Silver has come out and said that they aren't going to move teams anymore in the league.
And that's another thing too.
No disasters.
Right, but again, I mean, there's a difference between we're just going to pick up a move and we can't reach a lease deal. Then it becomes business, and then some entities will come out and say, you know, we, like White Sox did this a few years ago, talking about moving to some city if the city didn't give them something, and then the Diamondbacks were kind of doing that, just sort of putting it out there. Oh, we don't want to do this, but. The Blazers don't want to play that game. So because, though, that there's no way they're going to hammer out a new deal by the fall, right, they're going to enter into what they're calling a bridge agreement. So instead of having the there's three 10-year options for this current lease. So they could go another 30 years with three 10-year options. They're going to go to 2 5-year options with – the goal being within the first 5 years, at the very least 10 years, negotiating a long-term deal. But within that 5 year, the first 5 years or in the next 5 years, the Blazers are going to turn this building over to the city for $1. So the city owns the land and the building, but also maintain the responsibility to renovate the building, remodel, update, and do more in and around the Rose Quarter. So the Blazers are going to financially continue on as if they're going to be there forever by doing the projects. And the city's going to have to pony up to as well, and the county maybe, and the state. Who knows how that's all going to work? That's part of what needs to be negotiated. But they're going to move forward as if they're going to be there forever and basically remodel their home, right? So that's it in a nutshell. Now, if within 5 years they don't reach a deal, then you can go to another 5-year period. So I would say that clearly the goal, and they've made it clear that Jody has said, get a deal done. You know, we want to stay in Portland, of course, blah, blah, blah. So anyway, that's the broad strokes. And there's other minor details about user fees and capital projects and all that kind of stuff that just, I got to read that stuff. Like, I'm a sports reporter. I've covered news. I've covered government. I've covered education. And whenever I'm dealt with that kind of stuff, like, my eyes glaze over and I got to read it 3 or 4 times before it sinks in. But anyway, so, it's a positive step. There's no doubt about that. So this agreement will go before the Portland City Council on Wednesday. It's expected to be, approved, and then they can move forward. And the big thing, the big thing to me is that they continue or really start ramping up rebuilding that area, because it's just it's dead, and they're not trying, they don't have goals of making it like LA Live or anything like that, but it's dead pretty much. Unless there's any event there's not many reasons to go over there that I know of, and it just can look a lot better. It can be a lot better. It can be more vibrant, and that's the plan. That's what they want to do, which is great to hear. But of course, you don't want to do that if you're going to leave. And they have no intention of leaving. And so this takes away the deadline. It both takes away the fear of the deadline coming up. We got to get something done, and creates urgency because you want to get it done within 5 years, not 10 or more. So anyway, that's where things are. As a Blazers fan, as a long time Blazers fan, who now I know you're a journalist, so you're not as much a fan, but you still have Blazer gear. Do you feel better about the situation?
I guess I wasn't really worried about it to begin with.
Okay, that's not how I was. I would have been shocked.
If there was any sort of issues, that would have been surprising. Obviously, Moda, I think that they've done well with the building that they have, but it is crazy. It's still, I think people still see that building as like, oh, it's Moda. It's new. It is not new anymore. It is one of the oldest arenas in the NBA, actually.
Right.
So, that building, I think they did a good job of building it for the time. And I don't think it necessarily, I sometimes go into some places and I'm like, this place is a dump. Like, I've traveled to my fair share of arenas because of the NCAA tournament and things like that. Like, oh God, Anaheim's arena, the Anaheim Ducks arena. Mm-hmm. What is going on there, guys? Like, oh my God. I wasn't necessarily super impressed with Houston's, I'm forgetting the name of it, but the place that the Texans play where I was in last year, I was like, this place has zero character. Like, there is, it's just a concrete building plopped down in the middle of a city.
Right.
So I think that the Moda has a lot more character than that at the very least. And so that's a good thing that it has going for it. But it is definitely time for some upgrades and some help around there.
Right.
You know, I, once again, the NBA has made hosting the All-Star game in Portland out of reach with their new requirements. We do not have enough five-star hotels. We only have two. They need three. We don't have enough international and domestic flights out of PDX to make that happen. But I do know it remains a goal around there to host an All-Star game. And so they need these improvements to that district to happen to even have this remotely be a chance.
Right.
But right now it's still out of reach. I mean, the Oregon Convention Center doesn't have enough space, doesn't have enough convention space for an All-Star game. So, you know, there's a lot of things that need to be figured out and improved and worked on around there. But first and foremost, they've got to get that, like you said, they've got to get that area just more
vibrant,
vibrant, palatable, like alive, something. Because you're right, there is nothing going on around there. The only, the most happening situation around the around the Moda Center is the Max line, okay? When it's not a game day.
It's like, hopping. It's hopping, you know, at that point.
It's happened, baby. But, like, yeah, you just – there's not a lot to draw people in down there, and they've that is a huge priority that they have got to figure out. So, you know, this deal puts that at the forefront, and in that situation, that is good news. But I think both you and I agree that this isn't something that is super shocking or surprising. It's just the next step that we assumed would happen. And it is nice when things that we assume happen, happen in this business, because sometimes it doesn't go that way.
Right.
So there you go. Yeah. It's like a lease agreement.
I like it. I mean, you know, the doomsday scenario would have been they draw up a list of demands for the city and say, approve these by the fall or we're not going to renew and then we're going to move. You know, I mean, that's something that, although we don't think that was ever going to happen, that's something that, you know, is in play. It's happened before. We've seen it around the sports world over the last several decades. So
that hello to the Oakland.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. All right.
Yeah.
The Blazers themselves are getting back into action Friday night against the defending champion Denver Nuggets, who won the first two meetings in Denver. They held a couple practices Thursday early evening and or late afternoon, and then Wednesday late afternoon and Thursday. I didn't see any of those media availabilities. What were you doing, Brennan? You too good?
Let's see here. I was off yesterday
because I do.
What'd you say?
Chad Dewing showed up to one. I'm like, what are you doing here? You must be bored. Anyway.
And then the other one, I was up in Longview, Washington, doing a story.
Okay, so you were working. Good job. Anyway.
Yeah.
So Scoot Henderson talks to us on Wednesday night, well, 5:30. And then the next day, after practice.
He's out. He's out.
It comes up and he's out. I'm like, wait, what? We were just talking about second half of the season and how much fun he had at the All-Star Futures game. And it turns out that, you know, he had an adductor thing and he aggravated it at that game and it didn't heal very well over the All-Star break. This is just what I'm hearing. I'm like wondering if he was doing something else. I'm not throwing it out there. You just never know. Maybe he was like dancing too much or something, boogieing too much on his time off in Cabo or wherever he went. Anyway. Ooh, Boogie, he did it on the water, didn't he? He was jet skiing. Anyway, the guy's injured and he's out. And one of the things we talked to Billups about was just the idea of having some continuity in your lineup. And you just put Scoot back in the starting lineup and now he's out. So I assume they're going to start Matisse. And so there goes more opportunities to have Ant and Scoot work together. But it's just amazing. And injuries happen. We know this, but they're second in the NBA in games lost, I think, coming into the break. I think it was like 188 or something like that, crazy. And now you're starting the season with, you know, you're going to be playing a G League guard in Ashton, and then Delano, who they got from Boston, is going to be playing guard because three of your best five guards are out. Three of your best four, really. Anyway, are we ever going to see this team have a stretch of games where they can actually work on anything they've talked about working on, like building an identity, creating continuity? It's almost been a wasted year in many ways to accomplish those things.
My answer is no.
Okay, moving on. So,
it's like, okay, we all know what's coming here. Okay, let's just be frank with the record of this team.
What's coming?
Where we're at.
What's coming?
Oh, we got a lot of injuries coming, Aaron. We got a lot of really fascinating injuries coming. Terms you have never heard in your life. Things of that nature. So, you know, that's just the reality of the situation. Like, that's not me hating. That's just what's going to happen with a team with a record like they have. Once you get to April, we all know what's up. Okay. So, okay. I mean, and to be honest, it would be malpractice if they were playing those players at that point. Like, it's not worth it for the long term.
You gotta play the youngsters. Sharp. Sharp wants to come back. Apparently, he's gonna make a miraculous comeback from his surgery and
good
and play. But no, I hear you. It's yeah. Brent, I ain't gonna lie. Look, I don't even know what to do with the rest of the season.
Jeremy Grant and DeAndre Ayton playing at the end of April.
You mean April? Yeah, I think the season ends April 9th. So yeah, end of March is what. Yeah. Probably.
Excuse me. Wow, it's really coming fast. I can't believe it's that fast.
Yeah, it's wow. There's only two months left. It's almost over. But yeah, I mean, you know that the full-on tank is coming because they've done it twice before, and they did it with no shame. Now there are some rules that are supposed to protect against it, but you can work your way around those. And plus, you know, even though this isn't a great draft, you want to try and secure your best chance to get a high pick. And there's some teams that are free falling to them because they're going to be, Memphis, you know, they lost Morant again and then Bane was out for a while. I think I can't remember if he came back or not, but they're free falling. And so it's possible if you play your guys, and the Blazers have been playing reasonably well lately too. I mean, they've lost some, they look solid in some losses to some legit contenders. So yeah, at some point they're going to protect against the idea of, say, right now, they're four games ahead of Memphis or below Memphis. Man, the Blazers have what is that?
April 14th, by the way, is the last game.
Is it 14th? Okay. What did I say, 9th? I don't know where I got 9th from.
Yeah.
I made that up.
Okay.
Hold on, sorry. Why is this? Oh, I see. Anyway, Memphis is on. Dude, I just hate it when the internet is just slow for no flipping reason. I'm paying how much? Anyway, you got Memphis free falling to them. And there's another team that could catch them too. And that's, never mind. I can't get the internet at work. Anyway, so yes, the tank is coming. Okay. That's what we meant to say. So I don't even know what to cover anymore. I'm not even lying about it. Nothing's going to happen in the last 2 months that we haven't seen already. And they're not going to grow anymore, right? No player is going to suddenly become markedly better than they have been. It's just, you're just running out the string. And it's just, it's just boring. But I'll come up with some good stuff. Anyway. I'll come up with something. I don't know. Okay. Let's look back. Let's look back a little bit. All-Star Weekend. You did not watch the All-Star game, you said. You couldn't have cared less.
No.
I had it on, and I watched the first quarter and then kind of checked in and out of it as it was on in the background. part of me really was only interested to see if it could actually get worse than it was last year. And it is amazing how it keeps getting worse and worse and worse. It's just incredible. And I get to a certain extent where guys want to be on a break and they don't want to go out there and compete and risk getting injured or whatever. I can't remember the last time an NBA player got severely injured in an All-Star game. And they make so much money and there's just so many distractions and it's just such a different world than it was back in the day when it's old heads would be like, back in the day, All-Star games meant the world, which they didn't. I mean, there was some lackadaisical stuff back then too, but it wasn't as egregious as it is now. Like back then, if Jordan's going in for a dunk, you know, a Western Conference All-Stars big Malone or Camp or somebody isn't like going to go up and try and like physically go out and block it. But there's at least going to be some resistance to him just having a free lane to go through. But now everything's so spread out and everyone's just jacking up threes. There's no one near the paint to contest. And they're not going to even give like one inkling of effort to contest anything. So it's not a game. It's just a shoot around, a three-point shooting contest. They shot 167 threes. And everyone now can shoot threes. So whoever has the ball, you don't have to run a play. They're not going to guard you. They're going to let you shoot the threes. You just come up and you just shoot the three. So that's all they're doing is exchanging threes. And every once in a while, someone will go to the basket and they'll just let them go dunk. It's horrible. And so people are talking about they should cancel the game, get rid of it. No, that's not the solution. The solution is just getting rid of stuff. You got to fix it. My solution is simple, Brenna. It's the only solution that ever matters. They just tried this similar-like solution with the play-in. Attach some money to winning that thing, and all of a sudden, guys will care. That's all you got to do. $1 million for each player on the winning team. Boom. Guys will care. You agree?
I also like the idea of home court advantage for the finals. I like that as well. But I understand why that doesn't have as much meaning because, let's be frank, half the players in that game know that they have zero shot of going to the finals.
Exactly. That would be the only concern is that the upper echelon players on the elite teams would be pissed at the other players.
And by the way, All-Star Weekend is not going away. The thing that makes All-Star Weekend – the thing – okay, how do I phrase this? All-Star Weekend exists for the NBA to make money. The NBA is not going to just cancel something and not make money. Right. One of the reasons why the All-Star game has huge problems is because it is a weekend made solely for sponsorships and high-profile business owners. That's why when you look in the crowds of these games, it's not like there's a ton of fans. That's not a thing. Right. It's a bunch of corporate people that are all like, yay, I'm watching. I get to go to the All-Star game for free. That's why we're here. That is why we're cooking. Don't get it twisted. All-Star Weekend is a corporate event. It has absolutely nothing to do with the game of basketball. All-Star Weekend is a weekend where there is business transpiring and there happens to be a basketball game during it.
Basketball game. Air quotes.
Yes, exactly. There happens to be a basketball that gets dribbled while it happens. So the NCAA, the NBA is not going to cancel this thing because, it's a weekend where they get to be like Story, everybody. Which, by the way, if anybody got their bang for their buck, it was probably Story last weekend. I don't even know what that is. I know what it is. I've never had it before, and we'll probably never have it. But shout out to Story, because guess what? They're getting a shout out on our podcast, so the marketing worked. It's not going anywhere, so they've got to figure it out. It has become an event that is just too corporatized, and it's so transparently just about the money at this point. So, I guess you're right in terms of the fact that, like, hey, if we're going to make it about the money, let's really make it about the money, people. Yeah. That's what it is. It is.
The other idea could be, U.S. versus the world, which U.S. could be in big, big trouble if that were to happen.
They probably would be.
Yeah, but do it. If the U.S. loses, it loses. Who cares? Huh? You don't think people...
Nobody cares about
that. You don't think the players would care?
No.
Really? Oh, I think they care.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Well...
Oh, yeah. Throw some money on it too, but I think that would make I think that would make them care a little more, because now you're attaching something that actually can carry some pride with it. I'm representing the USA against, you know.
Yeah.
No, you don't think so?
Like, it's not the Olympics, you know.
I know. If you do it right, you'll get guys. I think you'll get guys more pumped and more competitive because you're representing something, man. Anyway, that's just my theory. Go ahead.
Maybe that might last for a few years, and then we just go back to where we're at.
We'll put money on it too, then. So now you got double whammy. The other thing I would consider is adding more. People talk about adding more all-stars. So maybe you add more. Maybe you go. So right now they're at 24. So maybe you go to 32 and do four teams of eight, and do a small tournament just like the futures, and attach money to that.
Right.
So that way, the two teams that lose early, you don't have to play a half, right? So you don't have to play reasonably hard for a half. The teams that advance to the championship obviously would have to play reasonably hard for four quarters, but that second game, there's a pot of money there. And that could be something that could breed something. All we need, we just need it to be marginally competitive until the fourth quarter or final eight, nine minutes. And then it should be like, if it's close, it should be on. Like, it should be, we're playing real basketball. You can find examples of that from back in the day. And if you did that, it's exciting. Gosh, I remember some of those games when it was just fun, like, you know, watching Isaiah Thomas, Bird, and Jordan work together to try and beat Magic, Kareem, and, you know, whomever. Whereas now it's just like no one cares. Dame got MVP. Props to Dame. He shot two half-court shots. He swished them, but come on. Yeah. Oh. He just come down the court and jacked up half-court shots like it was nothing. He also won the three-point contest. What's that?
I said, just a side note, I would like to say, incredibly disappointed that they got rid of the player draft this year. Like, why did we need to get rid of that?
I don't remember. What was your decision on that? I thought maybe, wasn't it partly because they thought maybe going back to East versus West might return some competition to it, which clearly it has not. I remember that theory being floated around. I don't know if it was an official theory or just some fan.
You're listening. You should have seen the look on my face that I just gave. That's a nonsensical reason. And at least that was like something that was fun and created some hype around it. And yeah. It was like highly entertaining. That was super entertaining content. Like, so, you know, like I didn't understand that decision whatsoever. Cause I thought that was a pretty rousing success for them actually.
Yeah.
So I don't understand. I don't get it. You're going to take away one of the things that actually made the All-Star game kind of fun. Like, okay. Like, you know, okay. Here's a perfect example. We're sitting here and Giannis drafts Dame last year with his first pick at the NBA All-Star game. Like, what great content that ended up being. We don't get that this year,
because
all of a sudden you're like, oh, wow, look at this. This all comes full circle. Like, that's really cool. That tangibly shows how much respect Giannis has for Dame. And look at what ended up happening. I'm sorry. That was just a tangent. I don't understand why they got rid of it. I thought it was a great bit of content. And here we are. So you know, I don't get it.
Yeah, I'm with you. So Dame also won the three-point contest, but that preceded easily the most anticipated event of the entire weekend. Oh, by the way, the skills competition. If I can do the skills, it ain't skills. Just putting that.
Yeah, I think it's probably time to get rid of that.
That was, or just make it tougher. Oh wait, you don't want anyone to get hurt. Anyway, but the most anticipated thing by far, and why they held it last on Saturday night, which was smart, was
second to last.
Was there something after it?
Dunk competition was after.
Oh, that's right. That's right. My bad. Second to last. They should have had it last. But
they should.
The Curry versus Sabrina 3-point contest, which was a lot of fun for many different reasons. But what'd you think of it?
I loved it. It was easily the best thing about All-Star Weekend. So yeah, I mean that sort of stuff is something you have to. You've got to figure out how to make more unique events at All-Star Weekend, because obviously these, you know, the dunk contest, The 3-point contest is the best one that they have. That's just like the normal contest that they do.
Because you actually have the best at what they do competing, as opposed to the dunk contest, which is a clown show. No, yes. Like, Obi Toppin's brother, or was it brother or cousin? I can't remember. Like Obi Toppin.
It's his brother.
Yeah, I mean, Obi Toppin's brother, who barely plays, is in the dunk contest, like, against a G League guy. At least Jaylen Brown was in it. But yeah, it's silly. It's been silly yeah. off and on for decades, but it hit in a high peak with the Aaron Gordon Levine competitions, which were amazing. But since then, I can't remember one that stands out. And part of it is because you don't have stars. You don't have stars there doing their thing. So anyway,
you have this. Who's like, yes, I want to watch the skills challenge.
I've never been into that at all.
I've never encountered one person who's into that.
And
so
it's timed, and they run at half speed.
Yeah,
it's the craziest thing. Right. They do everything in slow motion, but it's timed.
I don't even know the rules. I've never paid attention because I don't care.
The thing they have to pass through is like, what is that thing? How could anyone not make that pass? It's not a skill. Every high school player in the country can do that with their eyes closed. Yet it's the NBA skills competition. Anyway.
Yeah. So they've got to figure out how to make more things like that. Personally, I was very disappointed in the commentary.
I was going to ask you about that. Okay, let's do battle on this. Because you mean on the Sabrina Curry thing?
Yeah.
You mean what Kenny said?
What Kenny wanted to say? You want to go? Let's go.
Okay, you go first. I think, okay, I'll just say this.
I think I have a different perspective on it than you do. Continue.
I know we do, but I believe in our society that too many times we latch on to things that don't mean what people think they mean because they want to be outraged. And I do not believe at all that what he said was even remotely controversial, let alone the way it blew up. I just think people jumped on it because that's what we do in society. But you go and tell me why you were offended by it.
Okay. Here's my issue with it.
Okay. First, say what he said.
We just had this.
Say what he said.
We just had this incredible competition.
Correct.
And that was obviously the highlight of All-Star Weekend. And you decide to use that moment to not once, but actually twice, talk about how she should have shot from the WNBA line. First of all, it's her decision. If she wants to shoot from where she wants to shoot, let her shoot. And you know what? If she would have shot from the WNBA line and she would have beat Curry, then the whole commentary would have been, oh, well, she didn't shoot from the NBA line. So I'm sorry. Where do you want her to win here? Because if she doesn't shoot from the, you know, but whatever. My issue, my biggest issue, I mean, so that's one of the issues. But my biggest issue is that you took that moment to try to insert your opinion on a great moment in basketball. And it's just like, dude, it's unnecessary. And it's really disheartening as a female, as somebody who's worked her butt off to get to where she is. And nobody understands the things that I've been through in this job. No one. Okay. Like the things I've been through even in the last month. Okay. Nobody gets, and I'm not going to talk about it publicly, whatever. So it really hit a chord with me because it was like, she just did this incredible thing, pushed him. And the first thing out of your mouth is, oh, she should have shot from the WNBA line. It's the perfect representation of being a woman where it's just like, you know what? Let me have my first thing out of my mouth be about something that is, why can't we just celebrate the fact that something great just happened? Why does it have to have your opinion? It's just ridiculous.
They're commentators.
I agree that they're commentators, but it just wasn't necessary in that moment.
Okay, but let me ask you something. What did he mean? What he meant by that is not what people are taking it to mean. He was simply, there was discussions as to what she was going to do, which ball she was going to use, and where she was going to shoot from, right? Okay, so everyone had opinions on what she should do. Should she do NBA and men's ball, or WNBA ball, WNBA 3-point line, or some kind of mixture, right? That was the discussion. Right. His opinion was that she should shoot from what she's used to shooting from, which gives her a better chance to win. That's all he was saying. And to for people that say, oh, I'm offended because you said she should have shot from that line because you think it would have given her a better chance to win, not because she wasn't capable of shooting from the other line, which is how people took it. That wasn't what he was saying. Clearly, he knows she can shoot from the other line. She hardly ever, like, what percentage of her three-pointers in games are actually shot from the three-point line? And mostly she shoots from behind it anyway. But he wasn't trying to marginalize her or disrespect her at all. He was saying that would have given her a better chance to win. And it's bizarre to me that people take that and turn it into, oh, you meant all these other things, when she shot with what? Oh, the basketball she's used to shooting with. So it's just, it's like picking and choosing what to be outraged with. And then if it's so egregious to even suggest that, then maybe the WNBA should start playing with a bigger ball and move the line back. How can you like be upset at someone saying she should have shot from where she shoots from in the WNBA? Like, it just, the outrage part didn't make sense. I don't have a problem with people saying, no, I think this was the best way to handle the competition. I think that's fine. But to turn it into something else, I thought people were reaching, because I don't think that's what he meant at all. I thought he was trying to say, hey, she would have had a better chance to win had she done this. She almost won anyway. I think she should have done that, but not to dismiss her or marginalize her at all. So that was my take on it.
Like I said, I just thought that it was such a incredibly weird thing to be the first thing you want out of your mouth in that moment. Yes, they're a commentator, but it's like, why?
Because he thought she would have had a better chance to win.
But then you also have to look at the other side of this. Like, if she did do that, what would have the commentary been? And she would have won. What would have the commentary been?
What would the commentary have been if she'd have won with the smaller ball? I mean, she used a smaller ball, right?
Yeah.
So she already so the degree of the difficulty.
The ball current versus where she is shooting from is, she's used to shooting from those NBA levels. She would need to practice a lot more with that ball to make that, with the men's ball, to make that be an easier situation for her. And she doesn't have time to do that. Let's be frank, okay?
Okay.
She can at least adjust the competition to that level. And, like, I'm sorry she didn't shoot with an NBA ball. Like, whatever. I don't think that would have been nearly as big of a discussion as she shot from the WNBA, like if she would have shot from the WNBA line, because that is something physically tangible that people can see. They would have been able to see, hey, she didn't shoot from the same distance that Steph shot from. And that would have been way more obvious to people than, hey, she shot with the WNBA ball. And like I said, it takes way more time for her to adjust her skill level to shoot with an NBA ball than it does for her to just shoot from the
day. And I agree. And like I said, how many times does she actually shoot from exactly the line in a WNBA game? I don't think she's making sure she's on the line. I think she's or behind the line. I think she's just shooting and she has the range to shoot from anywhere. So, and I disagree. Like for me, WNBA ball, NBA 3-point line, that made the most sense to me. But I'm not gonna take what Kenny Smith said and blow it. I think people blew it out of proportion, period. Because I don't think that's what he meant at all. I disagree, okay. But there's a difference between him. There's a difference between him saying what he would have format he would have preferred because he thinks it would help their win, and being disrespectful. I think too often in our society, people latch onto the, oh, I can make this into a controversy, and they just run with it when it's clearly not what that person meant. And we run amok with that stuff. And some of the, oh my God, some of the soapbox jumping on pompous, like I'm tweeting this because I know I'm going to get a bunch of likes and retweets, and like making it almost sound like this is just this horrific social injustice. Like it was just like, oh my God, you people are killing me with this. I don't believe that was in his heart. I don't believe that's what he meant at all, but that's my opinion.
Like I said, my biggest issue with it is that, yes, you're right, he's a commentator, but that also means, you know, you have to think about what you are saying at all times. That is important.
Because our society is nuts. Because our society has lost its mind on social media. Because social media has just made people freak out on things they wouldn't absolutely completely freak out about. And I think this is one of them. Because I do not believe at all that he meant that in any type of negative way whatsoever. But
it wasn't the time and place for that discussion.
Okay, that's fair. So let me ask you this. Yeah. How can they maximize on this? Because I'm like, let's come up with some kind of, you know, format, get more WNBA players in there. You know, if it's mix up the teams, if we don't want to have it just men against women, almost like what mixed doubles in tennis, you know, and because shooting is a skill that doesn't require like size, strength, speed, size, quickness, you know, the things that separate the NBA from the WNBA. It's a skill that anyone can learn to do. We all know there are shooters walking around the city of Portland right now who would be top five shooters on the Blazers, but they can't do anything else. Right? They can't play at that level in any other way. But shooting is where things have just changed so much. I mean, the NBA, we've seen the NBA three-point shooting percentages rise, and the WNBA's as well. And so we're also seeing, because the WNBA's three-point shooting is rising, we're seeing these women come out who are just like becoming sharpshooter marksmen. Where Sabrina shot 44.9% last year, and I think her career average, I think going into last season, was like 35, 36, and she's blown up to 44. And then was just dropped 26. She matched in that competition with Curry what Lillard did in the first round. I can't remember what his championship round was. So to me, like, this is the perfect skill that you can maximize the competition. And what it does in the end is it gets more eyeballs on WNBA players. It gets more eyeballs to respect that skill. It gets more exposure. And I think it's going to resonate with people and be like, oh, I remember that woman. She did this, who maybe otherwise wouldn't watch the WNBA. But Sabrina definitely reached people who have never watched a WNBA game. And they were like, damn, that woman can shoot. And so you keep doing that and adding that. I think that's a huge marketing boost for the WNBA. You get Caitlin Clark in there next year with Sabrina and some others and do whatever with the format. I think it could be amazing. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, they've got to figure out something to make it even bigger and better next year. I agree. You know, bringing Caitlin in would be really fun. Yeah, they've got to figure out a way to expand the WNBA's footprint at NBA All-Star, because I think that that's a really interesting way to do it. And yeah, they've got it. I like the idea of maybe like teams, something like that. Like, I saw somebody throw out like
same city teams would be cool if that's possible.
I saw somebody throw out like Steph and Dame versus Sabrina and Caitlin.
Right. Yeah, I saw that
sort of thing. Like that. That would be. I think that would be super fun.
Go ahead. Sorry.
I think you could probably even go bigger than that somehow. So,
well, yeah, if you get enough in the same city, like imagine Sabrina and Brunson, you know, versus, yeah, you know, two people. And like, I mean, Portland doesn't have a WNBA team, but Seattle and Portland could combine or something like that. I think that could be fun too. So just real quick, since I mentioned this before. So Sabrina's career 3-point shooting percentage before last season was 33.1, and she shot 44.8. That's such a tremendous jump, man. That's such a sign of her just really honing in on becoming a sharpshooter as she has. But as that continues to evolve, I think there could be some fun competitions that could take place. So, yeah, I would totally – like, I would spend the rest of the season trying to figure out what to do for next year to try and get more women shooters in there.
Yep. And you know what's funny is that – the reason why that happened is because of something at WNBA All-Star Weekend, not something at NBA All-Star Weekend, but they caught lightning in a bottle, so I will give them that. There you go.
What happened? I don't remember.
So the whole reason why that competition happened is because of the fact that Sabrina beat Steph's record at WNBA.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Did she make like 25 in a row? I can't remember. Something crazy like that?
She missed like two on the first rack or something like that, and then didn't miss one after.
Right.
So, so that is kind of what spawned this whole thing happening. So it's just kind of highly ironic that's how it ended up working out. And that's what everybody started floating, like, hey, maybe we should do something with this. And now we're here. So
WNBA had 11 women who shot over 40 And four that shot 43 or better. Christy Wallace, Courtney Williams, Sabrina, Jackie Young, and Tyasha Harris shot 46.4. How many shots did she shoot again? Goodness gracious, 46.4. That's stupid. Okay, she only took two per game, but still. she made one out of every 2.1 she took. So anyway, that'll be fun. Let me ask you this. Since the men barely try anyway, maybe you spice up the game by including NBA and WNBA players in the game?
Maybe. You can't do that. You literally can't do that because the vast majority of WNBA players go and play overseas. Sabrina is a unique case where she doesn't have to go play overseas because she makes enough money in endorsement deals. The vast majority of WNBA players have to go play in Europe after the WNBA season in order to make ends meet. So I just don't think that's realistic. That's at the end of the day.
They're not going to Russia anymore, are they?
What?
They're not going to Russia anymore, are they?
You know, I think Russia might be out. I think that might be done. So, yeah. Rightfully so. I mean, hi, Brittany Griner was in Russia. Brittany Griner, one of the most well-known women's basketball players, was having to play overseas in Russia in order to make ends meet. Like, that says everything.
Yep. So, I don't disagree.
So I just don't think that's realistic in the context of, unfortunately, where the women's game is right now.
The WNBA salaries have gone up to an average of like $150,000, right? What are they paying? Pay in Russia? Oh my God. The salary for elite players is $500,000.
Yeah, it's way more over there. And that's why they do it.
Shoot. I don't blame them. Okay, moving on. Ooh, we got into it a little bit that time. That was fun. We were fired up.
Timbers start their new season.
All right, so yeah, the Timbers start their new season, Brenna. And, you know, you're going to cover some of those games.
Yeah, big...
So break it down for us.
Yeah, the big talk around there right now is that apparently they are getting a big name designated player. It has been reiterated time and again. People around the organization, we're getting somebody who's big. I hope it pays off. I hope it's somebody who, you know, I'm like, okay, I recognize that name. Because this team needs it. They really didn't have any, like, you know, this is a team that is, last year did not perform up to expectations. I mean, it's the first time that they have missed back-to-back MLS playoffs since the 2011 and 2012 seasons. So that is not the standard of this club. And, you know, there wasn't any, like, huge splashy signings this offseason so far. So I know that things are a little bit different in the soccer world with signings, and you can sign people in season, and it's a fascinating world to me. But anyways, yeah, the big talk is that within the next week they are going to be bringing in a big name designated player, and you know, this has been the talk honestly for the last like 3 weeks around the organization. So I just hope that it ends up being somebody that actually like resonates with people. Because this team needs it, because like I said, there's just not, I mean, you've got a new head coach who, you know, his first situation in the MLS was interesting just because he went into an organization that had sanctions. And so, you know, he didn't have the same, he didn't have the same starting place as other people. So I understand it. Things didn't go super well for him in Miami. It's just, I don't know. It's just it's an organization in need of fresh blood. I don't know how else to describe it. It's just, it needs it right now. So, hopefully this, like I said, hopefully this signing lives up to the hype, because boy, have they been hyping it. They've been hyping it. it's all like, you know, we have this DP coming. We have this designated player coming. We have this designated move. Okay. All right. You know, I'm kind of at a believe it when I see it stage with things around there, just because of how everything has evolved around there in the last few years. So, and that's stuff on and off of the pitch, you know, with everything that happened with the Thorns and things like that. So, we'll see who it is. I would let's get this moving, baby. Cause when you're hyping something for 3 weeks, that's a long time.
That is a long time.
Yeah.
All right.
So the offer is not complete. Season starts Saturday. Let's see what complete looks like.
All right. Another team, or a team that has been living up to the hype routinely, has been Oregon State's women's basketball team, which ranks ninth in the nation at 21-4. They had that dramatic win over UCLA with the shot at the buzzer, but then they came back and lost to number 7 Southern Cal 58-50. Man, Southern Cal's D must be pretty tight. Anyway, your opinions on, I think you said something recently or to me earlier that they're projected to be a top 4 seed. Is that right? Or even higher?
Yeah, projected right now to be a number 2 seed in ESPN bracketology.
Okay.
Yeah. Which, you know, is really incredible. Really, we can combine. We do have a little bit Wazoo hoops on this just because, you know, they had a big win last night against Arizona. These two teams, I forget exactly where Oregon State was picked to finish in the conference, but it was like 9 or 10. Mm-hmm. Wazoo was picked 10, and yet both these teams are, you know, Oregon State's number 2 in the conference, and Wazoo is, you know, number 1 right now, which, you know, highly ironic considering the state of things in the Pac-12. But yeah, I mean, by the way, the reason why I didn't watch the NBA All-Star game is because I went and shot the Oregon State USC women's basketball game on Sunday. And I was driving back during the All-Star game, which even though that game, let's be completely frank, was not a great game either. Both teams shot like 30%. It was bad. Still would watch that 10 out of 10 times over the All-Star game. Cause at least people were trying to compete in that. But yeah, no, this team is really good. They also have maybe the easiest NCAA tournament run of all time. It sets up very well for them this year. If they keep winning, as long as they don't lose their next 5 games, they are going to host down in Corvallis, and then they are going to be put in the Portland Regional. Mm-hmm. So they don't have to travel out of state until the Final Four if they get there. So this is going to be a really cool thing. I mean, I think that the Portland Regional could be, because I think people forget that the women's regionals are different than the men's regionals now. It's actually a double regional. So you have 2 regionals going on at the same time. What? It's a double regional.
Oh, really? Oh, wow.
So you have 2 regionals going on at the same place. So there's only 2 sites for regionals. It's Portland and Albany, New York. So we have a very real shot of having Iowa here. And we will have the best of the best in the West Coast that are going to be playing here. And that's going to be really cool because West Coast women's hoops rules. Yeah, so
is there 5 teams ranked in the top 12? UCLA, Colorado, Oregon State, Southern Cal, and Stanford, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's 5.
And
Gonzaga's 16. And Utah's 18. Holy crap.
Yeah.
Woo. Loaded.
So I'm saying,
and they'll all be here?
I mean, if they win, yeah.
Wow. Now, Oregon's team that went to the Final Four in 19. There was a part of the tournament that was here, too. I can't remember what round it was.
It was probably down in Corvallis. Well, no, maybe
you were. I went to tournament games at Moda. I remember Portland watching Oregon play. That place was popping.
Yeah. I mean, this is going to be even crazier than that because you've got 2 going on. So, anyways, it could be a really – I'm saying if you like basketball, might want to look into those tickets.
No, yeah, that would be
I just want to get them now. Just don't wait for who's where and what's happening. Okay. Just buy them now. But anyways, the Oregon State women deserve a lot of attention and a lot of respect right now. And yeah, they're crushing it. You know, also the other thing about the USC game, they did have their big center Reagan Beers out. She had an injury during the UCLA game, a minute into the second quarter. So it does sound like she's going to be coming back at some point. So, you know, they've got a team that's just stacked. So anyways, you know, Aaron, you want to cover some good basketball in the Moda Center, you know where to find it now.
It's coming in a few weeks, right?
It's coming in a few weeks, baby. So,
well, you know, yeah, I'm going to need a dose of that.
I still don't think people are paying enough attention to this team. Like, I don't think people realize that, like, what they're doing is crazy, especially considering where they were picked. So, yeah. You know, thank goodness. 'Cause last year was just like, what a down year for our state college basketball wise last year. It was rough. You know, the Portland women were the one highlight of anything. That was the only team out of any of our D1 teams that went to an NCAA tournament last year. So it's nice to see the Oregon State women back in prominence. So there you go. There's my stump for the Oregon State women.
All right. And you want to talk WSU men's as well?
Well, you know, I just want to say, you know, I'm wearing a WSU sweatshirt today. I know I went to Gonzaga. I'm allowed to be happy for other people. And yeah, just a big win last night over Arizona. They're number one in the Pac-12 right now. Do you know the last time WSU men won a Pac-12 championship? You want to take a guess?
Was it 2007? 2007?
Wrong.
I'm going to guess once.
I'm pulling it up right now to make sure I have the year right.
You don't even know. You can't ask a trivia question without knowing the answer yourself.
I do. I just want to make sure I have the year right.
Oh, okay. That's the question. You want to make sure they have the year right?
I know, but it's so long ago that I just want to make sure that it is correct here. Well, let's see. Of course, I thought it was in this article this morning, and I cannot find it. Pretty sure it's 1941.
Yikes. The 2017 team went pretty far in the tournament. I covered the Pac-12 that year, I think. And
I think they went to the Sweet 16. I'm
covering them, and UCLA went to the Final Four with Aaron Aflalo, and Florida was there with Noah and Horton and that crew, and then Odin was there. And I think Washington State released maybe the Elite Eight, at least the Sweet 16.
Yeah, I think.
And that team did not look like any team that had any business being that far in the tournament. When you looked at them physically, it was like, it looked like a high school team almost. I'm serious, they were not very big.
Yes. No, I feel you there. I'm trying to see. That's not going to do what I want it to do. Let's just see. Let's see. No, that's not going to. That's not going to. Men's basketball. Let's see here. Yep. 1941, baby. I was correct. What memory I have.
Whew.
So that is the All last right. time.
Pretty impressive. All right, let's end this thing with something that
that's near and dear to your heart.
I prayed on this.
Okay.
Yeah. If you've listened to this show in the past, you've probably heard me moan and groan about Larsa Pippen dating Marcus Jordan, the son of Michael Jordan. Of course, Larsa is the ex-wife of Scottie Pippen. And it's just, I don't have a problem with the age thing. Like, I think, you know, to each their own. They're both adults, both over 30. Even no one can play they're in their 20s card. But it's just the idea of, like, two guys I hold dear to my heart as athletes. And if anything were to cause a beef, and it doesn't sound like this caused a beef, but it's just weird. You know, it's just bizarre. Larsa Pippen's known Marcus since he was a wee little child. It just didn't sit well for me because of the connection between Jordan and Pippen. So I really hope that they would break up. I mean, I feel bad saying that in a way, but my prayers were answered. They had been talking about getting married, and then Larsa Pippen scrubbed Marcus from her Instagram account, which is what you do these days to tell the world you broke up. And she later regretted that.
I don't prescribe to that theory. Continue.
What's that?
I don't prescribe to that theory. You don't, continue.
That theory? You mean you don't do it, but that's what people do.
I don't do it.
Yeah.
That is what some people do. I think it's ridiculous.
Okay. Delete. I'll get to this in a second. So they were talking about getting engaged, talk about getting married, but apparently they weren't officially engaged. But anyway, they're done. So, I mean, is it wrong for me to... I mean, I feel badly because if they were truly in love, I shouldn't want them to break up. I just didn't know if I bought the whole thing. I kind of felt publicity might have been a part of it because she does reality TV shows. And you always want a good, you know, scandal when you're involved in that. So, I don't know. I'm conflicted because I didn't want them to get married, and now I feel a little guilty that I kind of hoped they would split up for selfish, silly fan reasons. I don't know. What do you think?
You know what? They're two public figures. You're allowed to think what you want to think, and if you want them to break up, then that makes sense to me. You know what? I get it. This is your childhood, and you feel like they're screwing with your childhood. I understand it. Nobody wants their child.
My teenage and college hood.
Okay, there you go. Whatever. Growing with a chapter of your life you enjoyed. And now you're seeing this and you're like, this is just, my brain cannot handle it. You are, you know, so, you know, whatever. You're allowed to, it's not like you were actively rooting against them, but if you, she never even met Michael Jordan. So there you go. Or she never met Michael Jordan as his girlfriend. Yes.
True. Yeah. True.
So right. How real was it?
Thanks. I'm with you.
So there you go.
Oops. We had a technical difficulty following our discussion about Larsa Pippen and Marcus Jordan. We had another topic coming up on just Instagram in general and how breakups can be discovered through Instagram. But anyway, we'll talk about that on the next episode of the Oregonian Sports Podcast with myself, Aaron Tentress, and Brennan Green. Please check for that next week. In the meantime, click the subscribe button and leave us a positive rating. We would appreciate that, and we will see you soon.